You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We have a great show for you tonight. We are discussing the importance of not taking what others say and do personally. We're exploring the aspect that you hated the most about yourself when you were young, the quality that sets you apart from the rest now, but at the time just made you look odd and uncool. Later on, I'm going to let you in on a few secret techniques and strategies for ending the people-pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. How do we stop talking and taking what others say and do personally? You're a loser. You're a winner. You're beautiful. Or you look like crap today. The compliments, put-downs, and insults can go on for days. Whether it's a compliment or really an insult, you've got to watch how you take both to heart. Do compliments mean a lot to you? Do you judge yourself based on what others say about you? You know, every day we receive compliments and insults. As a child, I remember being instructed by my mom to only hear the compliments and to tune out all insults. But isn't that easier said than done? And is that necessarily the right way of going around it? When we give ear play to compliments paid to us, it makes it even more difficult to see the insults and to let those things go. You know, a compliment, really like an insult, emerged out of that one person's mouth based on their personal feelings, their attitude, their thoughts, and their very own perception of you based on their perspective of the world around them. Compliments are really beautiful to receive, and they do sometimes brighten one's day. I mean, it's nice to be complimented on one's work, on your dedication, on your beauty or your handsomeness. Whatever it is, compliments are nice. I do like them, but I do watch how I actually ingest them, how I personally take a compliment. Hey, Bill, you're looking very handsome tonight here in the studio.
Oh, why, thank you very much, Ashley. So what do you want? Just kidding.
Ooh, starting off feisty tonight. That's starting right. Off feisty. I'm liking this. I'm liking this new Bill. What's going on, Bill? How you been?
Hey, I've been doing pretty good. Finished up at school this past week, and, life is looking good.
Congratulations. You think you aced those exams?
I don't think I did. I know I did.
Woo! Prayers have been answered. I was saying a few, but I know you're good at that stuff. You're good at that. Joining us tonight in studio live with Perspective with Ashley Burgess is a television journalist and a good friend of mine, Annie Potasnik. Yeah. Annie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and I'm super happy to be here.
We're definitely stoked to have you here. You make the whole place look a lot better.
Oh, wait, was that a compliment?
Ooh, that was a good compliment.
That was a pretty good one, actually.
I'll take it. I'll take that one because it's coming from you, so I'll take that one.
Thank you. It's not like something like, hey, do you work out? You look like you must be heading to the gym.
Yeah, those, I mean, I take most compliments, quite honestly, with a grain of salt because you just really never know. You know, it depends on whose mouth it's coming out of. And if you're a complete stranger on the street, you know, I don't know. The compliment may not mean so much.
Or in a bar, maybe, you know?
A bar? Never. No, not me.
Dark alley?
I'm all about the dark alley. Yeah, definitely.
That's always a good one, too, because you never know, especially when they're lurking in the shadows. You never know. I mean, it could be somebody
interesting. That's where you get the best compliments. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what I'm talking about.
And the pickup lines, too. It's like, you know, hey, baby, is it me or is it hot in here? Or is it just you, you know? Or however it goes.
Can I help you take out your trash?
Yeah.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
So sexy.
Yes.
You've light up this whole alley just so much. Now, that to me would not be a compliment. No. That would be something that I would have to investigate a little bit more. You know, I remember, though, years ago when I was younger, a lot younger, and I'm not going to talk about my age right now. I don't want to, okay? But I began to think when I was younger I was overweight. And I remember I thought I should lose a little bit of weight. And a lot of times, you know, women, a lot of times more than men, you look at the magazines, you see the models, you see these women, and you have no idea really the background story and how all this goes until you get a little older. But you kind of decide to follow that regimen. And I remember I said, I'm going to lose a little weight. And I decided, you know, slow down on my eating, what have you. And the weight basically fell off. And I didn't realize it was really going to happen that way. And I remember my boyfriend at the time saying, man, you look the best you've ever looked. You're so beautiful. You're absolutely amazing. And, you know, at that time, just a little bit of backstory, because I know how perspectives, you know how I like my backstory. I remember getting on the scale a few days before he Barbie told me how great I looked, and I weighed almost 80 pounds.
Whoa, whoa, that's whoa, shocking. whoa.
And you're 5'6"?
Yeah. At 5'6".
That's...
Yeah, you'd turn sideways and nobody'd be able to see you. And you thought you had to lose weight?
Well, I lost weight down to, you know, 70-something pounds. And I remember my boyfriend thinking, you look the best you've ever looked. And not only did he say this, like, I had, like, four or five other close friends of mine say, you look so amazing, you're so beautiful. Oh, my gosh, you were just, like, the essence of a woman. And I believed it for so long because you believe this stuff because I was taking it so to heart. But I remember waking up one day feeling awful. I mean, feeling awful, feeling sick, feeling awful, looking at myself in the mirror and saying, oh, my God, I need some real help. I mean, like, I'm skin and bones.
Well, your body was deprived, too, of your nutrients, and you probably had no energy. And
did you have an eating disorder going, Ashley?
Well, I guess so, yeah. I mean, I guess to a degree, I guess anybody that gets down to that weight has an eating disorder. You're right. And I knew that I needed to seek some professional help. And I did. And I think that maybe, like, too bad. I mean, nobody got to Karen Carpenter in time. I mean, think about the people she was surrounding herself around. I mean, they were probably saying, you look the best you ever looked. And she's like 60 pounds.
Yeah, they complimented her to death.
Isn't that amazing?
Surrounded by yes people. If they really, really cared, they would have, you know, done an intervention or who knows? I mean, maybe they tried and she didn't listen. I'm not too familiar with her story, but I do know that she did die of anorexia, which I think is the number one killer. Is it not mental?
It's either anorexia or bulimia. Sometimes I get confused on, you know, the difference between the
two. Yeah, anorexia is when you starve yourself. When you have bulimia, you force yourself to throw up what you eat. And most people have both.
Well, remember Tracy Gold? Back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She just kind of like wasted away in front of our eyes.
Yeah. No joke. Yeah. It's well, and Annie, let me ask you this. I mean, and Ashley kind of touched on it too. I mean, do you think this is more of a problem for women than for men? Not that men don't, you know, experience issues with their, you know, self-esteem and whatever, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, in my opinion, and I'm in no way am I an authority, but I think that it's more prevalent for women because there's just this enormous amount of pressure to be thin. No matter what, like, you know, you got to do X, Y, Z, but you always have to be thin. And especially in this society and even in this town, to be quite frank. I mean, I travel when I go to other countries or even when I go to other cities in different parts of the country. And I just see more of, we'll take Miami for example.
Okay.
The women there could be, you know, large and in charge, you know what I mean? But just wearing like provocative and their sexy outfits and they're just owning it and they're confident and they don't care that maybe they weigh 180 pounds or 200 pounds or whatever, you know? Whereas here you'll have some skinny little thing that, you know, is afraid to even show her body because she's so insecure or just so lost in her own head. Do you know what I'm saying? That she doesn't know what she even looks like.
I mean, do you know people like that, Ashley? It's like, you know, they can't take compliments because they're, you know, it's like, why are you complimenting? What's wrong with me? You know?
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about. I mean, I have, I think men, though, actually have problems with the whole working out thing. You know, like there's certain men, like they feel like they have to have this six pack. They feel like they have to look like this guy in the gym, you know? I mean, you see these people getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's
you know,
the opposite.
I was just about to say.
It's the antithesis of what women, the pressure, these guys that they think if they're like, look like the Hulk, you know, that you it's going to like solve all their problems.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know,
and make them the greatest gift.
And they're always at the gym working out.
Sometimes three times a day.
And then of course they get on, you know, steroids and other, you know, supplements that are not just all that healthy for you.
Right.
So
it's true. And I think a lot of times, though, that starts probably the same way that my situation started and that a lot of women's situations start where somebody literally says, man, you look so great. They look at, you know, they look at some guy at the gym. You look amazing. Wow. You know, I like your muscle tone. I look, you know, and all of a sudden the guy's like, oh, getting respect, getting a little respect. Okay. Yeah.
Just puffing
I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep doing this. And then that it just keeps continuing and continuing. And eventually you hit that plateau that normal humans can't get past unless you use a few, you know, body, you know, drugs, you know, as far as obviously, you know, steroids and HGH and all that kind of stuff. And then you start getting into that group of people, and then that becomes even more so because you're trying to compete within that group,
right?
You know, because then it's even harder. It would be like being in a group of models if you were like a girl, you know, a group of models, and you have like Kate Moss as the lead friend, you know, and so you would really be having problems. I mean, 78 pounds, you're overweight, you know, what the heck, you know, go lose some weight, lose a few inches. You know, I think this proves though that compliments, like insults, can also do harm too, because when we talk about compliments, we usually think about happy, but sometimes it might not lead to happiness. You know, when we take them for face value, we can lose sight of ourselves. And that's what happened to me. And we can see, you know, we can see it as a nice comment if we want to, that someone makes that's beautiful. However, I think if we base our life decisions on them, that's when we have problems. That's when we have that rude awakening. That's when things happen. I think that's crucial. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I want to talk more about this. When we return, Annie, let's talk to you about some compliments as well that you've dealt with in life, some things that might have been maybe not so complimentary or maybe so that could have taken you off path, as well as Bill. I'm going to start probing you on this, too, because I know that you can chime in as well. So when Perspectives returns, we're continuing our discussion and exploration of compliments and insults. We're going to delve into exactly how we're supposed to stop taking things personally, and we're going to identify that one thing that made us, as children, stand out in school, and how that oddball quality that we had may be our ace in the hole. You don't want to miss the secret techniques and strategies I'm going to talk about later on as well for ending the pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in now, that's awesome. We've been discussing our discussion on compliments and insults and how you can put an end to taking things personally that other people do. And why is it that the aspect that you hated the most about yourself when you were young is the quality that sets you apart from the rest? Later this evening, I'm going to go and give you some great secret techniques and strategies for ending the pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. Joining Bill and I in the studio is Annie, and we've been talking about compliments. We haven't gotten into insults yet, but I want to discuss compliments. I want to discuss the last compliment that you received. Annie, what was the last compliment you can remember?
The last compliment that I can remember that really, truly meant something to me came from a family member, and it was my stepmother, and she told me, you know, no matter what has been going on in your life, you've always stayed true to who you are. You've always been the Annie that you are today as an adult is the same Annie that I knew as a child, as a teenager. You've always known who you are, and you followed that. You followed your heart. And to me, that was a very genuine, true compliment, and it came from someone who really knows me. Again, a family member who's watched me struggle with various things throughout my life. And so that was a compliment that really meant a lot to me.
I think that should. I mean, I think that's a genuine compliment. Not only is it a family member, it's someone you respect and someone that has no reason to say that except for altruistically and actually care and honestly saying that and believes in that. And I think that's a just compliment. And I think it's hard sometimes to see what compliments are, but that's definitely a compliment.
Yeah, I was about to say that family member wasn't saying that just to get something out of you, right?
No, not at all. And it meant a lot because at the time I was going through something where I really had kind of lost sight of, in my mind, I had lost sight of who I was.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going through a rough time, and she really just kind of reminded me, you know what, you know who you are, you've got this, you can do this, you know?
And at that time of your life, and I think everybody goes through something like that at some point in their lives, it's always nice when somebody kind of, you know, puts their arm around you, you know, and
they remind you, hey, yeah, you know who you are, you got this, you've been through way worse, this isn't going to kill you, just, you know, take a step back and, you know, figure it out.
Yeah.
And I did.
I like it.
I think the biggest deal, though, is that the thing about being a compliment is that obviously that person didn't want anything from you. And I think when you're
exactly
able to see, right?
Yeah, when somebody gives you a compliment and there's no hidden agenda behind it, it's genuine and it's real. Whereas I'm telling you, like, often I'm told, oh, you're too nice. And I don't really know. Hmm. Is that a compliment or is that an insult wrapped in sort of a compliment?
I was about to say, that sounds like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, kind of like, oh, wow, you look really great today.
Oh, you look the best you've ever looked. Don't you like that one? You look the absolute best you've ever looked.
I know.
Like,
how could they even know? They don't
like
know
crap all the other times. I mean, come on.
They don't know what you're going to look like tomorrow.
Right. I mean, like, how is this the best? It's like saying that was the best day I'm ever going to have. I mean, it's like being in high school
or,
you know, and saying this is the best day I'm ever going to have in my life. Well, that's kind of sad. I mean, you're just not going to live the next 50 years of your life. You're just going to let it go. I mean, you've already lived
exactly
the best day. You might as well just, you know, take 6 feet down and just, you know, bury yourself out in the backyard.
Or are they saying, yeah, you look good today as opposed to,
yeah, that's
you
what
know,
the, I mean, yeah. I mean, I had this, you know, this immediate smile. Oh, and then it just completely
it,
just,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow. I must look like hell the rest of the time. I don't know.
And
that's what it didn't make me feel good. You know, it made me feel like,
And I'm a clueless male, but even I know not to say that to a woman. You know, just you look good, period.
Well, you're
stop.
Smarter than most, yeah. then.
That is kind of funny you say that, too, because I think it's like the feeling, the emotional feeling you get immediately when somebody gives you a compliment is very interesting, because I think that can determine really where it came from mentally in their state, as well as really what they're trying to convey. I mean, because people can try to convey all kinds of different things, and I think if you have a feeling that they're trying to, you know, convey something not so nice, I think that feeling, you kind of feel icky. Like, yeah. Thanks. Okay, have a great day. I'll see you later, you know?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. And it's just not cool. It kind of washes all over you, and you're thinking, what is it about? I like it when you look at Facebook or any sort of social media where somebody posts, like, a picture, and everybody, like, puts up a little comment, and instead of saying, like, you are beautiful, which mm-hmm. is one thing I always put for women, you are beautiful, if, you know, you are beautiful, because they are beautiful, not you look beautiful. I always think that's a weird comment, too. You look beautiful. Not that you are, but you kind of look like you are.
Well, that's because that's more of a surface, superficial approach, whereas you're addressing by saying you are beautiful. You're saying you, the person, all of you, not your look. You're coming at it from a more...
skin deep.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
A superficial type thing. Yeah.
I guess you're right, because a lot of people don't want to get that deep, or maybe they're not able to, or they don't want to really put it out there on the line, I guess, maybe. But I always take it to that next level. And I think it's interesting, too, that a lot of times what we give, we get. Because normally in return, people do the same because they feel all of a sudden comfortable with being able to do that. So, Bill, okay, you've waited long enough. You've been quiet. You've been hiding behind that mic. So as you hide behind that mic, I want to know a compliment. What is a compliment that somebody's told you lately that you can remember?
A compliment that someone's told me lately is I have a friend who was going through a really hard time. And she's like my little sister. You know, mm-hmm. we've been friends for a long time, and she's significantly younger than I am. And so we have kind of a brother-sister type relationship. And so she's going through a personal problem, and I was, you know, trying to help her through it best I can. And she goes, you know what, you're just the most loyal friend I've ever had. And that made me feel really, really good, you know, because it made me feel like, okay, you know, to be very honest with you, I mean, yeah, there were things going on that I kind of had to drop, you know, in order to help her out. But because, you know, as close as we are, I felt it was worth it. And for her to kind of recognize that.
That's what it's all about, is recognition and the fact that you've done this. Not that you need recognition, not that you're sitting there saying, come on, you know, give me some recognition, give me a high five, give me, you know, some sort of plaque or gavel or something that says I'm the best friend. But it is kind of nice to say, okay, yeah, you did, that was important to you, and you actually did see that I am a true friend, and it's nice that you can actually see that in somebody else.
But of all the compliments to get, I mean, to get one about your loyalty, to me, loyalty is paramount.
To me, too,
And it's very rare. It's a true gem to find that in people, especially these days. And I'm not trying to sound jaded. I don't know. I'm just being honest. So to me, that was a fabulous compliment because, I mean, loyalty is everything.
Yeah, and I think especially in my case, because actually, I think you can attest to this, because normally I have a hard time taking compliments, and it's not because I have a low self-esteem or anything like that. It's just that, well, yeah, you know, cause it's like, if somebody says, okay, well, you did a good job. Well, yeah, I did a good job. It's what I'm supposed to do, you know, or thanks, you know, in other words, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, I always think, well, I mean, why are you complimenting me? I'm supposed to do that.
Right.
You know,
but maybe they just want you to know, and they're acknowledging it, and they want you to know that they recognize your hard work and your good work, and they're verbalizing that to you just because, you know, they're just trying to be nice.
Right. Right. No, I know they're trying to be nice. And like I said, I don't know. I've never taken compliments well.
I'm not good at it either.
And not because I don't think the other person's being insincere.
Right.
It's because.
So why is this? Let's do some deep psychological therapy on you, Bill. Let's talk about this. So, I mean, I think that when you can take a compliment, I think it's important. If you think that somebody's backhanded about it, you know, that might be a different story. But a lot of times, you know, when I'm dealing with clients, I always just instruct them, you might feel that way, but see it in the right positive light. Even if they are being backhanded about it, it's better to see it for maybe what you would rather it to be. You know, if I was to, you know, I would have to come up with something that's kind of manipulative, and that's not my forte. That's not my wheelhouse, honestly. So when I try to figure out something manipulative, it's kind of not so easy for me. So right now I'm at a complete blank. But however, a lot of people can come up with manipulative tactics that can get you to do something.
Oh, I can think of one that's super manipulative that someone may say.
I'll bet you can.
What do we have for it, Johnny?
You can.
Super manipulation number one. What do we have for it?
Drum roll, please.
I once had somebody say, tell me that that I was perfect and that I had a golden heart, and they wanted to spend the rest of their lives shining that golden heart.
Oh, barf.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's rough.
That's like the worst pickup line I've ever heard.
I think she wins. What do we have? I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot of gifts or like, you know, I should get some like bingo gifts in there.
And when we go to break, I'll tell you the cheesiest pickup line that I've ever heard.
Okay.
A guy tell a girl. But
this was written in the letter, though. It wasn't actually said. There was a relationship there of some sort. But I mean, yeah, it was just talk about like manipulative compliments, you know, meant to just mess with your mind. And there was never any meaning behind any of it. There was always an agenda, you know, that's just kind of, you know.
Yeah, and actually, you know, we'll get into this, I guess, more on the next segment. But I think that goes back to around what Annie was saying at the beginning of the segment was you got to know who's giving you the compliment.
Right.
You know, because a lot of times, maybe it's not fair to say a lot of times, but sometimes there is an ulterior motive on that. But we'll get into that more in the next segment.
I think I agree with you there, Bill. And I want to hear more. I want to hear more compliments. I want to hear more insults. We're going to talk about that later. When Perspectives returns, we're continuing our discussion and exploration on insults and compliments. We're going to delve into exactly how we're supposed to stop taking things personally that other people do and say, which will be interesting. We're going to identify that one thing that made us as a child stand out in school, that one thing that made us an oddball then, but is now our ace in the hole. You don't want to miss the secret tips and tricks and strategies that I'm going to talk about for ending the pleasing cycle and to begin really living your true life. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back to Perspectives Live with your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you've been tuned in or you're just tuning in, we've been discussing compliments and about to start talking about insults. We're also going to talk about that aspect that you hated that most about yourself back when you were young. It's probably the quality that sets you apart then, but it sets you apart from the rest now. Later, I'm going to give you the secret techniques and strategies for ending the pleasing cycle and to beginning living your true life. You know, how much earplay, how much thought, and how much value do you give to compliments paid your way? Compliments are nice to hear, and I can offers me a boost of encouragement that you may have been seeking, and that's fine, and that's good, but when we place too much value on compliments, we tend to lose sight of reality, the truth, perhaps. You know, we also might be taken off of course because of something somebody says that sounds really good, but it might not be what we should be doing. You know, I think it's good to be thankful for a compliment, but I think it's also the way in which we process a compliment is really important. Much like handling an insult, which we'll be talking about here soon, they are directly kind of proportional if you think about it. And we all know we handle insults extremely differently. I think just from listening to Annie discuss earlier, she's live here in the studio, Annie Pastaznik. She's also been talking to us about compliments and insults. As a television journalist, she has some background just dealing with the human condition as well. Bill's been putting in his thought process to talk about what he thinks is a good compliment. And I think that we've all discussed compliments. I think that there's sometimes some backhanded compliments, which I consider more of an insult. You know, I think with insults, and I think we all agree, hey, Matt, thanks for coming into the studio. I'm glad you finally got here.
I appreciate it, dear. Sorry I went a little late.
We didn't, cut into your day, did we, you know, by forcing you to come in here?
I mean, nothing's
important,
right?
Well, I had to finish strong at work, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to leave early. You know, I had to come down here and see my friends.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, well, we're glad to have you here, you know, at the crack of whatever time. But anyway, you know, we've been talking about compliments. I'll get you up to speed. We've been talking about what compliments really do for us and how, you know, sometimes they're good, but it depends on the way that we take them. And that's so important. But when we're talking about insults, and this is where I want you to weigh in, Matt, this is where you got to weigh in, big skinny, because when we get angry, we fight back, right? We can either get angry, we can fight back, we can also ignore people. You know, a lot of times our parents always say, just ignore them. Or worse, we let it get into our head. And I think something that I thought about the other day, which is really paramount, is that insults are also head games. If you think about it, an insult is a direct head game that there's no game board. Nobody's saying they're running game on you, but then all of a sudden they say something. And insults, just like compliments, are conjured in the mind of the person speaking them, and they're formed by one perception of you. Only their perception of you, not reality, not what's true. And, you know, I think that a lot of times, sometimes people may hate you because you look or remind them of someone from their past.
You need to sit down, this may take a while. See this girl, she sort of looks just like you. She even smiles just the way you do. So innocent she seemed, but I was fooled. I'm reminded when I look at you.
You know, just like when somebody might not like you just because you remind them of someone of their past, the opposite can be true as well. Think about it. They might like you for no apparent other reason, but just because you remind them or look like somebody that they liked in the past. Have any of y'all ever experienced that situation?
Oh, let me tell the ways, huh, Annie?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I mean... Well, no, you go ahead.
No, you first.
Oh. Ooh, in the hot seat, hot seat, oh. Hot potato. Well, let me start real quick.
Yeah, you start.
Okay, I think a lot of times when people look a certain way, act a certain way, it reminds us of certain characteristics of them. And I've had it sometimes where they actually, you look at them 1 second and all of a sudden you see another person's face like plastered on them. And it's because of the way they act, maybe their mannerisms, as well as, you know, depending on if they're really kind of slimy, it can remind you of them too. But, you know, I haven't ever really met somebody that I like just because they look like somebody or acted like somebody. Most of the time it might be a deficit that somebody reminds me of someone. You know, that's how I feel a lot of times.
You know, I'd have to say that there is one case where there's this person, like when I was in my childhood, because I was the victim of bullying when I was a child. And
a lot of people are. A lot of people were all the way through school, elementary school, yeah. Middle school, high school. I mean, it can be mean. Kids can be mean. They can be brutal.
I mean, adults too. But yeah, you know, kids especially can be mean. And anyway, this kid's face is just burned on my brain. Okay. Years later, skip ahead. I meet someone at a business conference, and I had to my breath got caught in my throat.
Oh, like you couldn't breathe. Like, no. Your heart was in your throat. You're like, oh, my gosh. Breathe. You're like, it's pounding. You can't breathe. You're sweating.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I'm, you know, fairly good sized. And I'm not a confrontational person at all. You know, I don't go looking for fights or whatever. But, you know, I can take care of myself if, you know, the situation calls for it.
So what happened with the situation? Was the guy nice? Was he a totally nice guy or what?
I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, it turns out it wasn't the guy I was thinking it was. But I saw him at first, and first my breath got caught in my throat, and they're like, oh, if it's you, I'm going to kill you. You know, I mean, I've always thought I'm going to kill this kid.
As he takes his big pen and puts it behind his back.
You know? And
going for the trachea.
I'm going to beat you to death, you know? And so I was kind of hesitant, but, I introduced him, Bill Barnett, and he said his name. It's like, okay, it's not the name. And so I literally said, yeah, I have to ask this. Are you from, I said the name of my hometown. Are you from there? It's like, no, where is that? So, oh, okay. You know,
in the clear.
I just reminded me of someone back in my hometown. But anyway, it's pleasure. You know, so then, you know, segue, you know, pleasure to meet you, you know. So, but for that first few moments, I mean, the adrenaline was pumping. It really was. So, yeah.
Well, now that I think about it, there was a bully. I was a latchkey kid, so I was always, you know, walking home by myself. And for whatever reason, this bully, would pick on me. And I was always like the smallest kid in the class, and she was the biggest kid. And one day I had a bike, and it had the little like daisies on the basket or whatever.
I had one of those.
Yeah, and she just like stood in front of my bike and stopped it physically with her hands and like flipped me, you know, to where I flew off the bike, and then she ripped all the flowers off of my basket. And I think maybe subconsciously I do kind of avoid women that resemble her. She had this bright red hair and these bright freckles, and she was just like, I don't know, to me she was a monster. But that could be my imagination spinning it a little bit. But now that I just now thought of that, and I hadn't thought of that for years. So thank you so much for that.
Thanks for bringing that up.
That's I appreciate it, Bill.
It's nice that I have some use.
It was suppressed, but I'm glad you brought it out, Bill.
Yeah, that's me.
It's true, though. Okay. I mean, sometimes you can avoid people that kind of remind you of that person. And it's funny, because if you really think about it, she was picking on the smallest person probably because she hated being the biggest girl there. You know, it's probably because she just was so upset about doing that. But the only way she knew was just to lash out at people, which is sad, to pull your daisies off your bicycle. But you can sit there and look at people like that sometimes, and they can remind you of a bully or something. It can be kind of scary. Or you're just like, you don't want to deal with the confrontation. You just don't want it, even though it's something that reminds you of something that happened maybe when you're 5 or 6 or 7. But our minds sometimes don't think like that. You know, we compartmentalize things sometimes, but do we really compartmentalize it? No.
I got crafty. I figured out, like, different routes home.
You did?
You know, yeah, to avoid her. So, and but even then, I felt sad for her. I wasn't angry toward her. I did feel sad for her because I knew, even as a kid, I don't know, there's got to be a bigger reason of why she's so mean.
So every time you see a redhead, does your blood pressure rise?
It's like her eyes go wide, you
I
know?
I shouldn't have she's... said that. Maybe. I don't know. I'll pay more attention from now on. See.
Let me look through my Rolodex, find some redheads. Will we come to some calls?
I don't
right
think
now?
I we'll know
bring
any.
In the studio.
Now notice that Matt doesn't have any of those stories because he probably was the bully, weren't you, Matt?
I was actually on both sides. I did a little bullying. I was bullied. I kind of grew up in my neighborhood. I had older and younger, so I had to be tough with these guys and, you know, the youngster with these crews. So I kind of I was a middleman.
You were a middleman.
So it's straddled the fence, huh?
I jumped a few fences.
Running away or running towards?
Both. I was bobbing and weaving if I had to.
That's awesome. So, you know, you have experience on both sides in case we need that. That's really good. So I want to talk now. I mean, I want to start our discussion. We're gonna continue this later on in another segment. But let's bring out your insults. Bring out your insults. Bring out your insults. You know, I think a big thing is that when we have insults that are paid to us, you know, the interesting thing is what the reaction is. And I think that's the most interesting part of being insulted. Is how am I going to react to this jerk or whatever, you know, this jack wagon? How am I going to react to that person and what am I going to say? You know, does it matter what they think? You know, it's just someone else's opinion. You know, everybody has one. My dad had a comment about that opinions are like something, that everyone's got one. And I can't say that right here on the radio for obvious reasons, but yes, everybody has one. And sometimes their opinions should be kept to themselves, but a lot of people don't know how to keep it, you know, under wraps, you know? And I think outward reaction to insults, but also our internal feelings that we experience when we are insulted, is just so important to see how we live our life through that, because it can happen at any time and take you considerably off path. And that can just, you know, it can ruin your day, it can ruin your week, it can ruin your year. So when Perspectives returns, we're continuing our discussion on insults. We're going to delve into exactly how we're supposed to stop taking things personally that other people say and do. We're going to identify that one thing that made us as a child stand out in school, made us the oddball, but it could actually serve as the ace in the hole for you now. And you don't want to miss later on, I'm going to give you some secret tips and strategies for ending the people-pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in 2 shakes. I can lift you up. I can show
you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives Live, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, we just finished talking about compliments and how we can define a compliment, but how to really deal with what's said to you when you get a compliment. But now we're delving into insults, really talking about insults, how we deal with them, emotionally how we take it. Later on, we're going to talk about that aspect that you hated the most about yourself when you were young, the quality that set us apart from the rest, but actually might be golden right now. And also later on, I'm going to give you the secret techniques and strategies for ending the pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. So, you know, I think a lot of times, instead, when we get compliments, we obviously appreciate it one way. Sometimes you can get backhanded compliments. That's kind of different. Or those compliments that seem to be in the gray area. Not really compliments, but not true insult. But let's discuss insults. You know, when you get an insult, you either get angry, you fight back, you might ignore them, like the thing that your parents or my mom would always say, just ignore them. Or worse yet, we allow it to get into our head. And I thought about this earlier, insults are really head games. When somebody tells you or gives you an insult, it's a head game. And they're not playing fairly at all at that point, because there is no game, you don't even know what's happening, and it comes out of the middle of nowhere, normally when you're in a pretty good mood, and you're not ready for it. You're not thinking it's going to come your way. I mean, so you're completely out of sync with what's happening. And the funny thing about insults is they're just like compliments. They're conjured in the mind of the one person that's speaking them, and they've formed this one perception of you. They don't know you, but they've formed this perception of you. So sometimes we talked about earlier about how some people might hate you or somebody might love you because you remind them or look like somebody from their past. So right now, instead of that level, let's talk about actual insults. Let's talk about what insults we've gotten in the past, what our reaction was, and then, you know, have we take it to heart or not? I think that's what's always kind of important. Do you take it to heart? You know, joining us, obviously, Skinny, Big Skinny. Matthew's here in the house. Bill's here as well.
Whoop, whoop.
And a good friend of mine, as well as a television journalist, Annie Potasnik, is joining us as well.
Hello.
We're happy to have her. She's making this whole studio glow, so we're really happy to have her tonight. So let's talk about insults. Who wants to start? Can somebody remember their last insult that just really did a number on them?
Ooh.
Bill has his hand up.
He's like,
Okay, Bill, you're up.
Okay, so this is more of a professional insult than a personal insult, but it's I still took it pretty personally. Okay, so as longtime listeners know, I mean, I'm a, you know, radio producer engineer, okay?
Yay, Bill!
Yay!
And he's a good producer, too.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment. The home studio that I work for, this was like last summer, all right? And there's this other producer engineer that works there, and I mean, we had had our moments, but we were civil to one another. We could get along. Anyway, long story short, I was caught in working. Are you ready for this, Annie? A double overnight shift.
Oh, those are always the best,
isn't it? Though, you know, so
much fun.
I mean, and not just a double shift, a double overnight. Oof. You know, where you're going all night into the next
day. Now that
day.
I know that you love that, we're going to do that here. It's going to be
the glitz, the glamour.
I mean, the pizza, the camaraderie, the hatred,
always pizza,
the sweating, the anger. I mean, it's great. It's all one big cornucopia.
Where were you guys? You know, at 2 a.m, you know, when I was trying to stay awake. You know, I mean, y'all could have come up and kept me company. At the bar. You know, leaving the bar. Whatever.
I was staring at the back of my eyelids.
Yeah.
You took my response. You took it. Jinx. Okay. You know, it's true. I was looking at my eyelids too, or I don't know, maybe the ceiling. I don't know, one or the other.
I've got an insult for you later on, Matt. But anyway. So here it is. I'm doing the 7 a.m. show. This is on a weekend, all right? So Saturday, 7 a.m. And here comes the guy in who is going to replace me, all right? And I made a timing mistake, okay? And so it turned out that the show was going to bleed over 30 seconds into the next hour, you know? I mean,
30 entire seconds?
I know, you know, I mean, to stop the presses, right? You know, so I said, look, I made a mistake, and my brain's a little fuzzy, but there's a fix for it, okay? So I told him, here's the fix for it, and you'll still get in on time. And Ashley, I'm telling you, he flat refused to cooperate.
Are you serious?
Flat refused. He said, you know what, if you do that, I'm just going to cut it off. And what it would have done is would have cut off the first 30 seconds of the top of the hour program.
So what happened? What did you end up doing?
I was so angry that I didn't trust myself to say anything. I just walked out.
So did you internalize this now? I mean, obviously you still think about it a little bit.
Actually, let me tell you something. I have not spoken three words to this guy since.
Really?
I mean, and this might be a character flaw on my part, but when somebody just royally pisses me off,
right,
then that's it. You are cut off. You no longer exist to me.
You are blackballed.
You are blackballed.
You're dead to me. You're dead.
You do not get a Christmas card.
I understand that. I mean, that's out of self-preservation, I'm assuming, on your part, right? Because it hurts you so bad internally that it's hard.
Well, like I said, it's a professional insult. I mean, you know, in our business, you just don't do that to somebody else. You know, I mean, you could be upset if they make a mistake or whatever, but you know, you don't do that. You know, it's just so unprofessional.
I agree.
So, and it, to the point where, you know, in all honesty, he questioned my competence by not doing it. And I may not be the best engineer in the world, but I think I'm pretty good. You know, and
I think a professional insult or a personal insult is just an insult. I don't think that the two are different. I think that if you really care about your career, or if you even have a career, I think that having a professional insult is rude, and I think that that will hurt you just as much, especially if you value your job, right. If you value your career, if you value the training and the education you have, it can really blindside you, especially in your situation, being up for how many hours, like 36 hours plus, and then you have somebody literally just haul off on an issue over 30 seconds. One, you're not expecting it. Two, you're sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Three, it's just completely out of the blue over something that just seems just odd. And also, it's kind of questioning your ability. All these things all at one time, I would probably walk out too, because there's really nothing good to say. What are you going to say? You're not going to be able to really talk to that person.
But see, I haven't said anything to him since then either. And that, like I said, we're going on a year. So like I said, maybe that's not a good comment on my character,
But has he gone out to try to communicate with you?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I mean, so, I'm not advocating, but I mean, what do you think?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, unless you have to talk to him, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with the way that you reacted.
I mean, and I have publicly snubbed him. I mean, like, we've passed each other in broad daylight where there's other people there. And he'll say hi or look at me. I just won't even look at him.
Well, sometimes it's best to just let some people just keep it moving. They're just better when they just keep it moving, especially in a professional setting and especially in our business.
Yeah. Well,
And I had a personal insult thrown at me in a professional setting from someone who was trying to hire me, and it was just completely caught me off guard.
I want to hear more.
From me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes, from you.
There was a news director who wanted me to come work for him, and I was already working in this market. It was my senior year, my last year at UNT. And, during the initial interview, he basically just kind of sat back in his chair, and I'll never forget the smirk on his face. And he just told me, let's face it, Annie. I mean, clearly you're too old. You'll never make it on air in a top 10 market, let alone Dallas Fort Worth. It's just never going to happen. You're too old. I think I was 24 at the time.
Wow.
Yeah. And the whole thing is that, I just kind of looked at him, and because we were in a professional setting, I couldn't really say what I wanted to say, but I'm also very good at biting my tongue as well. But he just really wanted me to come and work for him. So that was his way of, trying to persuade me, basically kill my dream. Hello. You know what I mean? So I ended up not taking the job. And, about 22, 23 months later, I was on air in this market.
So it ended up working out for you after
all.
And
a number five market. Okay. And that's the thing. Number four,
My first on-air gig was in this market. I never worked a small market gig. I just started out here, and that's what I always wanted to do. And this guy that I didn't even know was not going to destroy that with his insult, telling me that I was too old, when clearly, I wasn't too old, nor did I look too old. Then he also wanted me to change my name, insulted my heritage, basically wanted me to cut my hair, wear pearls, told me viewers might not warm up to my look because it was so exotic, and I was out of there. I was like, screw you, I don't need this job. I'll go back to Dallas and figure it out.
And that's crazy, because you never know. I mean, the whole namesake idea, you have a history with that too. And a lot of people, when they make these insults, they have no idea how deep this goes.
Right. Well, I mean, here in the South, Potasnik is what is that? Yeah, it's on my father's side of the family, Eastern European. My mother's Western European from Belgium. But my great aunt Tilly was in the camps. She had the numbers burned into her arm. I remember being a young child and seeing them for the first time when we were walking in the streets in New York. I asked her about them, and just the look of sorrow in her eyes and her face, I just felt like a terrible kid, and so as far as my name, I mean, yeah, that's, I'm proud of my name. There's a heritage there. There's a history. And for, again, some news director that I don't even know to suggest that I change it to come work for his little podunk station, excuse me, it was just not happening. So that's how I handled the insult. But it stayed with me. Clearly, I'm still very passionate about me. It really lit a fire under me to succeed.
See, that's awesome, and I agree with you. Insults are head games, and to have that whole scenario play out with your grandmother and this whole namesake, and for it to mean so much, the heritage, is unbelievable that somebody would insult that. We're going to come back. We're going to discuss more about insults. I have more comments on that, because sometimes when people insult you and play head games, just like you were saying, they're trying to get one over on you. They're trying to manipulate you into believing that you need them, that you need to be around them because they are so much better than you. So when Perspectives with Ashley Burgess returns. We're going to be talking more about insults as head games, as well as that quality that when you were young, you really hated about yourself, but now has really paid off. As well as later, I'm going to give you the secret tips and strategies for really ending the people-pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts. And where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about compliments and insults, and how we generally accept or understand those, as well as we're going to talk about the aspect that you hated the most when you were growing up, the one that set you apart, that made you the oddball, but it could actually be the ace in the hole right now. As well as later, I'm going to give you some secret techniques and strategies for ending the people-pleasing cycle and to really begin living your true life. So right before break, we were talking about insults, and Annie was talking about this insult that she was dealing with, a professional insult, as well as Bill, which I think is interesting. And I think insults are always head games. I think they honestly are. And I think it's a person trying to either be above the other person or to make another person feel kind of bad, as well as everybody seems to have one. I just think that the interesting thing about insults is the way that we outwardly react. Also, our internal feelings, because it's funny, because our outward reaction to most insults is the opposite of how we internally feel, right? Two different things. It's almost like, I think y'all would kind of understand this, it's almost like when someone falls down, like in a public place, and there's a lot of people around, and you see them fall, and it looks like it really hurt, like get really hurt, right? And that person like jumps up really quickly and kind of looks around and goes, oh, I'm fine, I meant to do that. And they kind of laugh it off, but you know, as soon as they leave, they're crying. They're barely able to walk. I mean, their skin probably left on the sidewalk, and they're heading to the 24/7 medical clinic, yeah. You know?
But still, they want to save face.
They want to save face. And so a lot of times, the way that we react to an insult that's given us by somebody is normally very different from how it makes us feel, hence why it's really insults are really head games. Because, I mean, the same goes for the insult that's dished out. You know, unless we let it slide, like, off our back, like people say, let it slide like water off a duck's back. Well, how do you do that? You know, you just walk it off, you know, just put some dirt on it. You know, it sucks because inside we're like, what the, you know, who the heck do they think they are? Or instead of getting angry, you get sad, right? You take it terribly personal. You might even crawl into kind of a sad, lonely, dark place. And insults, I think, are a lot harder to deal with because we were born to fit in, the fit in gene. And this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the I want to belong gene. I want to please people. I want to be the pleaser. I want to be liked by everybody. You know, I think a lot of us, we're raised this way. As children, we're definitely raised this way. We're raised to please our family, our parents. And you can't please everyone. And it's not everybody's going to like you anyway. It's funny how people you want to actually like you, you want to accept you, will probably never, ever accept you for the rest of their lives. And I think that's kind of interesting because I think a lot of times we're always trying to please everybody and we're trying to be the one that everybody likes no matter what, just agree. And I mean, how many times are recently, when was the last time? Let's go to you, Big Skinny. When was the last time that you agreed to do something just because you're basically wanting to please? Not because you wanted to do it, not because you ever wanted to do it. You actually wanted to say no, but you end up saying yes because you're just trying to make somebody happy.
I've always been the super nice guy. Always tried to...
I'm kidding.
I take no offense, Bill.
Boy!
Always tried to please everybody, you know, family, friends, coworkers, and then a good friend of mine, Doc, finally made me realize, you know what? You'll never please everybody. You'll never please all your coworkers. And... I started looking at life a little differently. I started, you know, focusing a little bit more on myself, you know, not so much appearance-wise, but just mentally. And that actually made me grow a little bit. And over time, I've just, you know, I've got a couple goals in mind that I'm going to set. I mean, that I've already set and I'm going to achieve. And eventually, you know, it's about me. I mean,
right.
But a lot of times we can sit there and say it's about me. We can be happy about that. But at the same point, it's kind of like, you know, because you can't please everyone. And I think right when you start realizing that you don't always have to say yes, it's a big deal. Because really, honestly, it's a crapshoot. You know, it's dependent on the perception of you. So however these people perceive you is not really actual reality. How many times have you looked at a person and, you know, initially misjudged them? I mean, I think everybody's done it. When you look at somebody and you assume one thing and it's not at all the situation. I mean, I've done it. I mean, it's funny how, you know, you see somebody being a certain way, but are they truly that? And I think a lot of times we think that we know the person, but rarely is it congruent them, who they really are, versus your perception of them. You know, because we only see like a few facets of different people. I mean, you have to really actually work to get to know people, even if someone gets the basic gist of who you are. So, Annie, even if I was someone from the outside and I thought I understood you, I'm still missing big pieces of the puzzle. I mean, what somebody thinks of you will rarely contain the whole truth, and that's okay because there's really no way around it unless both people agree to cultivate a relationship. And I think cultivation of relationships is what's so important. I mean, you don't necessarily want to cultivate it with somebody that insults you. I mean, and a lot of times as a people person or as a people pleaser, we kind of mix those two things up where it's not you're a people person just because you allow people to walk on you. You're just being a people pleaser. And so sometimes somebody can insult you from the middle of nowhere and you go, okay, yeah, that's funny, you know, whatever. You know, they're just being them. You know, and it's hard to sit there and put our foot down and say, hey, you're wrong, or I'm not gonna stand for this, okay? You have no idea who I am, and you're totally missing the boat.
Yeah, and also people's perceptions. I mean, I know me personally, I think I could work on, you know, maybe communicating a bit more, you know, or getting across who I am, because I actually am, believe it or not, kind of shy, and that goes way back to, you know, when I was a kid. And I'm just at this point in my life, I'm so used to people's perception of me just being so far off that I'm just used to it. And it just takes time to get to know me to really see, you know, who I am. And so I don't even get upset, you know, and I've been told often that, you know, wow, you're not at all who I thought you were going to be. You're not anything at all like the person, you know, that I saw on TV or that did this or I heard this or that, whatever. You're just not that person. But that took time. And like you said, cultivating a relationship and getting to know me and vice versa.
And not looking at the outside. Like, I guess you're right. If I was to look at you from the outside looking in, I mean, you would see, you know, gorgeous woman. You know, he's got everything going on. Obviously, he's very gregarious, outgoing. I mean, you make judgment calls.
Wow,
but when
thank
I
you.
Met you, I mean, I know that you are beautiful. You know, there are things that like beauty and all that is true. But yet, you are more of like the intelligent, strong type. I mean, like very intelligent, very humble. And I think that by perception of other people, what they think when somebody wears a certain necklace or a certain color decides, oh, that person's really out, you know, oh, that person must be this or that. Like, I went to a restaurant the other day and this guy literally was serving us and he was kind of rude and he kept running into the back of me and then he kept dropping, like, he would actually pour my iced tea and pour it onto my notebook and pour it into something else and didn't care. And I was okay with it. I was like, it's all good. It's good. It's good. It's good. No big deal. And on the fifth time, I finally was like, okay, I just kind of had enough of this. Well, I didn't realize that his nerves were so shot.
He was nervous. I was going to say he was probably intimidated or nervous.
Yeah, and he
Maybe
thought
he,
I was just like everybody else.
He recognized you or...
You're right. He thought I was just like everybody else. He said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're a really nice person.
Yeah. And well, you're super chill and laid back. And, you know, I think when you're laid back the way that we are, that's often misunderstood too.
It really is. I mean, and why is that? I think it's because it's so maybe rare.
Yeah.
And maybe people don't get to know us at first because I think a lot of times people want you to be a certain way in their mind, or they mm-hmm. go on and assume it because this is from the past experiences, this is what I've experienced, and so this has got to be the same, even though everybody's so unique. It's basically a million to one.
Right. Well, it just blows their mind. It blows their mind where they have this perception. Well, just for example, we'll use what we do, working in the media. They think you lead this charmed life, you know, and they have no idea. And then to meet that person and find that they're like you are, you're so genuine, you're so down to earth, you're just really cool. I remember the first time we went to lunch and I was just like, wow, I'm so happy because I'm going to know her for the rest of my life. Like,
so
that's
true.
How cool you are.
So true. And I mean, Annie understands, and everybody listening, you know, a lot of times people really think you know, that, like, you know, being in radio, being in TV, you know, I mean, yeah, TV does trump radio, but, you know, radio, we're both in the same deal. And Annie does, like, these insane hours, always working, always. It's not the glamorous life that people think. And it's funny when you get text messages from people that don't know you that well, and they'll be like, oh, you must be living the glamorous life. How's the glamorous life going? And I'm thinking about that song.
Yeah, they have no idea, do they?
Yeah, I mean, they have no idea. It's like, you know, they're singing that one song, that one, the glamorous, the life. Well, I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, by Fergie?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm totally not on a private jet right now, but thank you.
That would be great. Like, I'm taking out the trash.
Not
you know?
Yet.
I'm like,
yeah. Not yet.
Yet.
You're working your way up to that.
When you get yours, you have to save me a seat then. I'll
be on there
all
the time. Of course,
you're
all invited.
Thank you.
All invited.
I'm in it to win it, I'll tell you that. I'm in it to win it. So, hey, when we come back, we're going to begin our deconstruction into exactly how we're supposed to stop taking things personally. Because I think that's hard sometimes, because I can sit there and say, don't take it personally, you know, till the cows come home. But we got to figure out how to deconstruct it and figure that out. We're also going to identify that one thing that made us, as children, stand out in school, and it kind of made us an oddball. And we had that oddball quality, but maybe that oddball quality is your ace in the hole now as an adult. You don't want to miss the secret techniques and strategies I'm going to reveal later for ending the people-pleasing cycle and to begin living your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, we've been discussing compliments, we've been discussing insults, how we deal with insults, and how to put a stop to taking things that other people say and do personally. Coming up soon, I'll be giving you some secret techniques and personal strategies for putting an end to people-pleasing and how to really begin living your true life. And now we're going to explore what it means to really have a unique individual quality. I think a lot of us can remember back when we were in elementary school, middle school, or even high school, and all you wanted to do was fit in. Like, fitting in was so important to being a child, because you knew if you stood out, you'd be made fun of, you'd be tormented, and probably called lots of really bad names. I mean, Bill's over here with his hand up. And you know what? A lot of us have been tortured or tormented in school. And once you enter middle school, that's when the unique quality of yours, that thing that makes you different, really came forth center stage. And instead of being unique, you were labeled as weird, different, odd, not cool, and sometimes even worse. I mean, that's the key. These unique qualities, you know, like, makes you stand out from the rest. But man, it can be so hard on a kid. So Bill, let's talk. You had your hand up. Let's talk about unique qualities.
Yeah, me and my big mouth here. Okay.
I know. God bless you. But you know, somebody's got to start. I mean, because I got one too, and I can tell that everybody in this room has a unique quality.
Well, okay. So, and especially when I transitioned to a teenager, you know, my middle school, junior high years. Okay. You remember the game Where's Waldo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that game.
Guess who looked like Waldo?
No,
oh,
no,
really.
I'm serious. I had the thickest Coke bottle bottom glasses. I mean, literally without my glasses, I could not see like my hand 3 inches in front of my face.
As a child,
and also I had like super bad buck teeth until I my braces fixed that. And you know, it wasn't until my senior year in high school I got my braces off. So anyway, I had these big, huge, you know, humongous Coke bottle glasses, really bad buck teeth, and acne.
Oh, okay. Man. But, what a trifecta.
Triple whammy.
From about age 12 through age, I would say, almost 16.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, my heart goes out to you on that one.
Yeah, those are brutal years, too, just in general.
At least you didn't have lazy eye or something like that.
I mean, I actually started wearing glasses when I was like 6 or whatever, you mm-hmm. know? So I always got made fun of over my glasses. But it's just, see, some people blossom when they become a teenager. I went the opposite direction. And it wasn't until my senior year in high school, I think, until I finally, you know, kind of grew into myself.
Yeah, because, you know? Like, you were just like tall. And lanky?
Of course, I'm taller, and I was even skinnier than McSkinny over there.
That's impressive.
So think about that. Tall, skinny, glasses, buck teeth, and I didn't play football. Well, that was probably the worst of all. And for those of our listeners, Ashley, who don't live in Texas, if you just take my word for it, if you don't play football, that's a bad thing.
Oh, my. Yeah, Texas has this football thing. I mean, I agree with you, but you didn't wear the little hat, did you? The little cap or the little red jacket or anything like that, right?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay.
But no,
I was just making sure, like, you didn't add the color to it, you know? No, but that's awful, though. I mean, I remember I loved the Where's Waldo, and I'm glad you shared that with us because it can be so mean. I mean, kids can be cruel. I mean, really, honestly, we think that adults can be mean. Kids can be the worst, but you know where they learn it from. They got to learn it from adults somehow or not.
Oh,
they
yeah.
learn it from their family because I never insulted people when I was in school. I mean, I don't insult people now. Not like it's changed, but I mean, like, I never insulted people. But I mean, how did you deal with that? How did you feel?
I'm a passive aggressive person.
Right.
So I dealt with it by just internalizing it, by just not talking about it, not sharing it, not letting people know how I truly felt.
Which is the hardest thing to do, which is the worst thing to do.
Which is the worst thing to do. It's like I didn't even have my first date till I got into college.
Well, it's so hard.
Because I didn't know how to relate to other people. And, I didn't go to parties. I didn't go to, any social gatherings. Because there's going to be somebody there who's going to make fun of me. And golly gee whiz, I didn't like being made fun of. You know, who knew, right?
So you withdrew.
So I withdrew.
And that's the thing. I mean,
So it compounded on itself. The more I isolated myself, the worse it got. You know what I mean? So
because it's also in your head, because insults and those kind of things are mind games.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it makes you feel any better, my dad wouldn't let me go out on a date till I was in college anyway. I had to get away from the house. But, he was like, no dates for you. If you go out, it's a group hangout, you know, and a group hangout was like till... Maybe I think the latest curfew I ever had was like 10 o'clock, and that was like on prom, like various proms. So everybody else got to go to the hotel and hang out, and I came home. Yay! Everybody else drank. I had nothing to drink, but woo! I was designated driver. Yay!
I didn't even go to my prom.
You didn't?
I didn't want to go. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, there was nobody there I really wanted to hang out with. I mean, to this day, people ask me, "Well, you're going to go to your 20-year high school reunion or whatever?" It's like, no, I hated high school. I'm not going to go back there.
High school is rough. I mean, high school was rough, and I understand where you're coming from because it's just so hard. Because a lot of times we want to isolate ourselves because we're already feeling isolated by the comments that people are making. It's hard to deal with. You know, I mean, it's just hard to kind of like really figure out what to do. What's up, Big Skinny?
I can totally agree with you on that, Bill. My parents realized I couldn't see when I was 5 years old, so I started wearing glasses. I had the large Coke bottles in high school. I
like
got
you,
my
you
first contacts.
Right?
Oh, beyond.
Yeah.
Oh, man, some ants were hurt.
It was like 2,800, which is truly legally blind. Went through that, wore my contacts, ended up getting LASIK surgery a few years back, just kind of kept blossoming. And, you know, I'm still big skinny, but I still weigh, 6'2", 158. Proud of it. But it was neat going back to my 10-year high school reunion, which I didn't get invited to my fifth year reunion. But it was nice going in and then people realizing, wow, this guy really blossomed. He turned into something like the aging stopped.
The ugly duckling into the, beautiful swan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I got to hand it to you, Matt, because I can't make myself do that. I've been invited. I can't do it.
I think you just need to face your fears and go in and walk in like a rock star, like you own the place.
I mean, and that's what other people have told me. I just like, you know what? I dislike those people. I don't want to be around with a handful of exceptions. I don't want to be around them.
Well, if you dislike them and you don't want to be around them, then there's no reason to go out there and try to impress them.
Yeah, don't force yourself.
No. But, I mean, if you want to go, go. But, I mean, if you don't want to go, don't go. I mean, I think that you can go either way with that. I mean, I love going to my reunion. But, like, my husband does not want to go. And he didn't have any problems. He just doesn't want to go. He's like, I should, if I'm going to hang out with these people, they should be around me all the time. And it is kind of weird, too. It is that kind of double-edged sword when you go to the reunion. Like, I knew everybody and I love everybody. But at the same time, we don't really all hang out. I only hang out with a few people. And it's kind of weird because you get really close and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, it was great seeing you. Here's my number. And then it just kind of, everybody kind of fades back away,
I've never been to any reunions ever. And I mean, high school for me, I went to Booker T. Washington High School for the Performing and Visual Arts, or Arts Magnet, as we called it.
That's a mouthful there.
That's in Dallas, Texas,
yeah, especially
by the way.
When you're trying to fill out your college forms and everything, trying to squeeze that in there. But, and for me, I mean, high school was great. I mean, it was amazing. What was more challenging, school-wise for me was elementary and middle school, because I grew up in a very affluent suburb. And, you know, if your parents weren't in a certain tax bracket and you were in any way different, I mean, you were just kind of, you were either invisible or just, you know, brutally, mercilessly, somewhat, you know, teased and bullied. So I didn't fit in on any level, in the way that I looked, in the way that I dressed, in the way that I spoke. I came from a broken home. My mother didn't speak English, so English was a really my first language. You know, I just had a totally different thing going on than all the other kids. So, you know, I learned really quickly about the hierarchy of society, really, in general, at a very early age. But I'm happy that I did. I'm happy that I learned that lesson as early as I did. And I retreated into books. And, you know, I never ate in the cafeteria. I always took my lunches in elementary school. I ate in the library. That's when I started reading. And then by middle school, I graduated to retreating into the auditorium, because then there was nobody in there and I could write and I could read my books and I'd be left alone. And all my friends and all my books all over the world were much more interesting than what was going on in the playground or in the cafeteria.
You know, Annie, I've got people who still don't understand why I like to be alone to this day.
Yeah.
It's because I think, like you, it's a survival skill. You retreat into yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have absolutely no qualms about being alone, and people think it's odd and strange, and, you know, but there's a difference. I think there's a difference between feeling lonely and actually just like being alone. It's to
right.
me, it's not a big deal. But then there's, to me, it's bizarre when people have to have people around them.
Oh,
all the time.
Gosh,
I think
yes.
That's weird.
I only have like two or three really close friends, and other people think that's weird. I'm like, that's all I have the patience for.
Yeah, yeah. Quality over quantity.
And one of them would be Ashley.
Aww. What about me?
Well, okay.
New friend.
Yes, there you go. And Matt.
It's all right, Bill. My middle name is Skip. I get it.
Hey, Skippy. What's up, Skippy? No, really, honestly, I think that this is really cool, because we're all talking about all these different things and we're talking about our unique qualities. So when we return, we're going to continue this conversation on that oddball quality, those qualities you had when you were back in school, elementary school, middle school, high school, dealing with that, as well as we're going to talk about the secret strategies and techniques that you can actually arm yourself to stop people pleasing, to stop that cycle, to move past that, to begin living your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
And welcome back to Perspectives, live with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about compliments and insults. We've been talking about how to put a stop to taking things that other people say personally. Also, I'm going to talk about some secret techniques and personal strategies that are just coming up. About to talk about that right now, for putting an end to the people-pleasing cycle, and how to really begin living your true life. But now we've been exploring, just the last segment and now, the unique individual qualities that we have. I think that our listeners, as well as everybody here in studio, know that back in elementary school, middle school, or even high school, we always wanted to fit in. Fitting in was the most important thing as a child, because you knew if you stood out, you'd be made fun of, you'd be tormented, and you'd probably be called names, you know? So if you entered, you know, once entering middle school, it seems that unique quality of yours probably came forth, and you were labeled as weird, different, you know, not cool, and sometimes even worse. And I think what we've been talking about and bantering about everybody else's, I would say, like, with the, I guess, the umbrella of issues, but not really. The thing that, you know, keeps you from standing out, I guess, for my situation, the thing that I had, I'm sure y'all can all figure out, that unique quality that I've had since probably elementary or middle school.
No, I don't know what you're talking
about. Your voice.
She got it. Ding, ding, ding. What do we have for her, Johnny? We have some
great
gifts.
I want a present.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that's kind of a sore point for you, Ashley. I mean, because we've got the stereotype, if you're a girl, then you're supposed to have a you know, really high voice.
Well, when I was a kid, I mean, I used to call up my friends. So this is funny. So I used to call up my friends when I was like in elementary school and middle school and be like, you know, hey, wanted, you know, see if they wanted to go play or wanted to go to the pool. And sometimes I just wanted to have that high voice. So sometimes I would try and change my voice to make it higher, you know. And I mean, and let's put the timeline on here. Let's average 10 years old right now, okay? And they always say, any person I call would be like, Ashley, I know it's you, but that was a good try, though. That was a good try. You know, I wanted one of those really high-pitched voices, you know, that those really girly girls have, you know. And I thought about it day and night, and I thought if I asked for it enough, you know, when I asked and I prayed about it, my voice miraculously changed, and I would have that voice of that valley girl, you know, that valley girl, like, oh my God, you know, like that really high voice, you know, and be like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God, I love y'all so much. Oh my God, it's so great. Oh.
The walls in the mall are like totally tall.
Oh my God, I love y'all. I'm so glad to be on Perspectives. I mean, like, that's what I wanted. And I'm glad I didn't get that. But I mean, I still get insulted to this day, but I try not to take it personally. I try not to deal with it. I try to kind of put it aside. I had a guy recently just get angry. I didn't know him, you know, out of the middle of nowhere. And then he just starts calling me like a man and stuff. It's like, come on, dude. It's like, really? I mean, really? I mean, that's like the only put down you have. Come on. You know, but people do that because they try to find and pick out that one thing. It's like they haven't changed from school, you know? And I think different, though, I think this voice has really helped me. I mean, I haven't been able to change it. Like, I wasn't able to get LASIK and change it. I wasn't able to grow into my body and change it. Like, this stuck with me my whole life.
Or get braces, in my case.
Yeah. I mean, like, I wasn't able, you know, like, Annie, I wasn't able to, like, move on to a great school and be in a great, you know, and really learn and grow and go through all that stuff. And then eventually grow and be around people that actually, you know, give 2 cents and actually understand me. And, you know, you can go outside of your books. In this situation, I couldn't grow out of it.
You had to learn to come to terms with yourself in that
regard.
And
I think that it actually helps me a little bit too. I mean, I don't think that if I had a really high pitched voice, I don't know if you'd want to listen to me on the radio, quite honestly. I don't know if I would be audibly listenable. You know what I'm saying? Like the voice that I wanted, that like Valley Girl.
Really, but you have a very distinct voice. When I hear your voice, I know that's Ashley Burgess. And so for what we do, what you do, it's perfect.
Yes.
It's absolutely good.
I mean,
this
is what you're meant to do.
But I can't prank call people. I can't.
Because they know it's you, yeah.
They always know it's
if
me.
If it makes you feel better, I always wanted, like, I wanted a deeper voice. I was always what people would call, yes, is the lady of the home, is the lady of the house there. You know, like, these are bill collectors. Still to this, like, will call me to this day. You know, I have to make an effort sometimes to make it lower.
It's like
the opposite, it's the antithesis of exactly what you're talking about.
It's like people will call you and they're like, okay, kid,
they think
get off
I'm
the
a
phone.
Kid. Yeah. They think I'm a little kid.
Don't
and
get your mom.
You know, if I don't want to pay the bill, I'll be like, oh no, mommy's not here right now.
That is so much better than knowing yes. That's so much better. Mom's not here right now. I'm a latchkey kid.
Yes.
I got nobody taking care of me. Call Child Protective Services. Help me out.
I'm telling
like,
you,
sir?
It works.
They'd be like, sir, you need to get off the phone. Seriously, I mean, I have a friend of mine. He's a great person, and I won't identify him, but he has a really high voice, and it sounds like a woman. And so when I went over to this establishment that he owns one time, I actually answered the phone when it was ringing, and they were like, yes, sir. And when he gets on the phone, they're like, yes, ma'am. And I thought that was hilarious to you. But, you know, we all have these things, these personas that people see us as, you know?
Well, I could say I always had a very high-pitched voice. I mean, I got the yes, ma'am and whatnot. And then finally last year, it slowed down. It finally dropped.
Woo!
Woof.
There it is. I like that. I like that. That's good. That's good.
It only took me 35 years.
Hey, you know, better late than never.
35 is the new 15.
There you go.
I mean, that's what I've been saying. I don't know. Some people think that's kind of odd. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like 75 is like the new 40.
Yeah.
I'm with it. So let's talk, let's change our focal point a little bit and start discussing like really how like the techniques and the strategies of putting an end to this people pleasing cycle that we all fall into. I think that, you know, sometimes with these unique qualities that we have as kids and going through that and like, growing through life, a lot of times when we have these things that are different, we want to just please people because we just don't really want people to see those things. We don't really want to deal with it. We really don't want to be different. We want to just get through it, you know, get through life, you know, make everybody like us a lot, no matter what, and just be like the most popular. And I think that we learn that as a child. I mean, from our parents, when we were born, you know, you learn that from, you want to please your mom, you want to please your dad. If you had one parent, if you had both parents, if you had adopted parents, whatever, you want to please that person that you look up to, you know? And I think that that's a big thing. And I think that's something we learn basically when we come out of the womb, that we're wanting to, you know, to please everybody, to make them happy, to have them smile. And I think that that's something that's inherent within the human condition. I mean, I think it is. It's inherent. And that's why we do it all the time. I mean, And I think it's hard to stop. And I think the biggest reason it's hard to stop is because most of us never have any boundaries. We don't have any clear boundaries with people, because when you want everybody to like you, you don't want to have boundaries because you feel that boundaries may make them not like you. Like, you know, small boundaries, you know, to start with small boundaries. But what about when you sit there and say, no, I will not accept that behavior from you? And a lot of times when you've created the boundaries in the beginning, you don't have to go back and admin or, you know, put an appendix of a doctrine here or add this or go back and remix that. Really, honestly, when boundaries are in a relationship in the very beginning, you know, everything's really safe and sound. But a lot of times we have these muddled relationships that go back and forth, and anybody feels like they can push anything on you, ask you to do anything, and you feel like you can't say no. You feel like saying no, it's going to hurt their feelings. They're not going to like you anymore.
You don't want to disappoint them. Yeah.
Not disappoint them, and you feel like, oh my gosh, you know, they came to me, or they might get, you know, they came to me, they need my help, or, you know, maybe I'm the only one that can help them, whatever. But a lot of times, instead of just saying, hey, let me think about it, or no, a lot of times we sit there, we give all these excuses. Oh, well, I got this going on. I got this going on. Oh, but you know, I want it. But all of a sudden they sneak back in, and guess what? You're doing it. And the thing is that being people pleaser doesn't please you at all. I mean, you're pleasing everybody else, but you're coming home hating on it, going, I didn't have time to do this for 10 hours today. I didn't have time to take care of her three kids today. I didn't have time to babysit. I didn't have time to do this, but I said yes because I want to please everybody.
Well, and also, you know, the old saying, if you try to please everybody, then you end up pleasing nobody. So if you try to go out of your way to please this one person, somebody else is going to, you know, maybe be upset with you. And I think if you get so caught up in trying to make everybody around you happy, then not only do you make yourself miserable, but then you end up, you know, maybe, you know, harming some relationships around you. So at some point, and this is something that took me a long time to learn in my case, you've got to at some point say this far, no farther.
But there's also a difference between honoring your commitments and pleasing people. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like if for example, if you say you're going to do something, I mean, this is, I was taught, if you say you're going to do something, just do it. And if something happens and you can't do it, have the courtesy and the respect to let the person know in a timely fashion. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think there's a difference between the two. But when you're constantly, I mean, what you're talking about, always trying to please, and it's very draining.
It is. And it's, you're right. It's different from if you make an agreement and you say, I'm going to do this, you got to step up and you got to stand by your word. You know,
right.
If something does fall apart, you can explain. But really, honestly, you need to do the best to try to do it. But when you, I think there's a difference with the pleasing part, because a lot of times the people pleasing part has nothing to do with what's doing right. Like, it's not doing the right thing. It's doing the easy thing. Like, instead, like the right thing, for example, if somebody asked me to take care of their two children, and let's say two of them are infants. I really haven't taken care of infants that much. But if I sit there and say, yeah, sure, yeah, I'll take care of your kids. How long? Oh, okay, an overnight cruise y'all are on? Okay, yeah, I'll do it. What could happen to those kids? What if something happened? I mean, you need to have somebody that actually knows what they're doing. I mean, and in that case, I'm people-pleasing because I have no need to be having, like, two infants to take care of on my own. It doesn't make any sense. But a lot of times we get ourselves into issues even bigger than that to please somebody, to make them happy.
Yep.
I mean, and what happens is that we end up, something happens and we have to go back on our boundaries, or something bad happens, you know, and it does ruin the friendship. But also a lot of times, what is it? It's because we are upset that we agreed to it and we feel that they've taken complete advantage of us.
And that resentment can then harm that relationship long term.
It'll manifest. It'll come up eventually.
It will. It'll fester.
It's like one thing I've got going at work right now. I've got an employee that basically thinks he's a chief, but actually he's an Indian. Therefore, I called him out on a few things. Now he hates me, whatnot. It's nothing I'm going to lose sleep over. But like I tell, you know, my other coworkers, you know, you can't please everyone. You're gonna burn some, not really burn some bridges, but you're going to, you know, ruffle the feathers, shall we say.
Yeah.
And it's one thing I've learned to deal with and just move forward, you know. Like you said, you can't please everyone.
You can't. And in your situation, being it's a safety organization and you're running safety, you know, only people get hurt when you try to please everybody. That's the only thing that's up with that. We're going to return. We're going to talk more about the secret techniques and the personal strategies that you can do, that you can put into your life on a daily basis to end this cycle of people pleasing, and how you can begin to live your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. Yeah, we'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. You
get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And you're tuned in and you're turned on to Perspectives. We've been talking about compliments, insults, how to deal with them, how to put an end to taking things that other people say and taking them personally. But right now, I'm giving you the secret techniques and the personal strategies for putting an end to your people-pleasing cycle and how to begin living your true life. Because you can't live your true life if you're too busy pleasing other people, because it doesn't work that way. You have to please yourself. You do right by other people, but doing right by other people and showing respect is different from just going, anything you want, I'll do anything you want. So right before break, we were talking about how you really need to set personal boundaries, clear, concise boundaries. And a lot of times the easiest way to set boundaries is a new relationship. Older relationships are harder because people have gotten away with so much murder. They just know that they can get away with it. They just know they can push your buttons. They know how to do it. They know what to say, whether it's a compliment or an insult or an underhanded comment or whatever they have to do to make you do whatever they want.
Did you just get back from a family gathering, Ashley?
No. No.
High school reunion?
Yeah.
I'm here, right? No. I mean, no, I understand family is very hard too. And I was going to bring that up. I'm glad that you segued that way, because a lot of times you can use these boundaries on other people, but when it comes to family, it's just over your head. You can't do it.
Right.
But the family, that's the thing that you really want to start, because when you stop wanting to please your family, i.e. parents and what have you, you can stop the cycle. I mean, honestly, because a lot of times it's just ingrained, but it's not right. Just to say yes all the time to somebody doesn't mean it's right. I mean, if your kid asked you to jump off a cliff, allowed them to jump off a cliff, would you let them jump? If your kid said, hey, can I go buy this gun? Would you let them buy it? No. I mean, there's certain times that no is appropriate. And I think a lot of times in life, we don't say no because we don't want to be unliked. We want to be loved. We want to be cared for. But how? I mean, if somebody bases their love on you saying yes, that's a messed up valuation of love. And sometimes you got to clarify it. It's like giving money. It's like saying, hey, I'm giving you this money because I love you, but I'm not going to show you love. Okay, this is the way I show love. It's like the same thing of somebody manipulating you saying, oh, I love you because you do all this for me. When in actuality, it should have nothing to do with that. I mean, manipulation, that's standard 101 of manipulation, is that people, they mind, Jedi minds you,
yeah,
you know, by the compliments and insults.
It's kind of like, I'll be your friend if you do this. Haven't y'all ever had somebody, you know, I'll be your friend, you know.
Or I love you so much, or yeah. I think you're just the best, or I think you're just the most amazing mate, or the most whatever. And in actuality, it's them trying to get something from you.
Right.
And usually you've already given them at some degree, or they wouldn't be doing this, because it's kind of like the idea, if you can't get away with it, you're not even going to try it. But if you've gotten away with something, might as well go for it. I think so. So we first off, and the next thing is, you don't want to give excuses. So, for example, let's say that Annie asked me to do something I don't want to do. The next thing I would probably do is this, right? I mean, you know, a lot of times that we sidetrack. The human condition is to sidetrack. Well, I really got my mom visiting right now, and then I got this going on, and you know, I mean, my schedule's really tight. Instead of just saying, no, I can't, because in a little while, I'm going to really just break my own self down, and I'm going to end up doing something that I don't want to do. Maybe it's not that I don't want to do it. It might be because I don't have time for it, or maybe it's because I am not able to do it, i.e. I might not have the knowledge or the resources to pull something off. And I think we've all gotten ourselves into those situations with not asking any of the facts of what's up. Like when somebody says, like, big skinny, like you've had somebody come up to you and say, hey, would you volunteer to do something? And you go, yeah, sure. And you had no idea it was going to take like a 6-week period of time, that it was going to be a 10-hour, you know, commitment of your time each time you're there, and that you would basically be like lifting heavy objects over your head. You had no idea, but you agreed to it at the time.
I took one for the team.
You yeah. did. And how happy were you after that?
Ecstatic.
Exactly. Unfortunately, we're not on TV and you can't see that he is really just joking. Yeah, because ecstatic is anything far from reality. A lot of times you're upset with yourself for doing it. You get angry. You get upset with that person because you feel like they're using you. Because in actuality, you kind of let them use
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, you felt like you're being taken advantage of. And but a lot of times, I think what you just hit on, Ashley, you let yourself being take advantage of.
Yeah, if you would have said no, they couldn't have done it. I mean, even if you feel bad, because I know sometimes when I say no, I might feel bad about it. You know, I might like, oh, gosh, you know, but I couldn't do it. I mean, if it's like somebody asking you, you know, hey, I need to borrow some money. If you don't have the money, you got to say no. You just got to say no. You can't. You can't sit there and go, okay, let me go rob the bank real quick, and I'll be right back to give you that money real quick. Okay, no, it's like, I can't. I don't have it, you know, or, you know, whatever it is, and I think that's important. Also, a big deal is don't apologize. Okay, I know a lot of people, I can look at y'all right now, too bad this again is not on TV, apologizing is the thing. I mean, like, a lot of times it's like, oh, but I'm sorry I can't. Oh, but you know, I really am your friend, and I'll do anything else you need, and the next time you need something, I'm right there, but you know what? What are you doing? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, that person, you know, whether it's like helping them move, I like that one too, when you help somebody over and over again. I mean, it's one thing if you have like an amicable friendship structure, i.e. I help you, you
it's
help
reciprocated.
Me.
Reciprocated.
Right. But what about when it's
when
not?
It's one-sided. It's just, yeah. And I think people use I'm sorry. I think people apologize, like, not everybody,
fast.
But yeah, or too much. Like, yeah. It's so overused. I would rather hear it from somebody that I know, like, it actually means something than from someone who's, like, just continually kind of using me or abusing the relationship, whatever the context of whatever kind of a relationship it is. And, you know, they're just constantly screwing up and saying, I'm sorry. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Because they're always sorry.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and they never
they're just
learn.
Sorry. They really are sorry. Eventually, I'll be like, you know what? You are sorry. You're very sorry.
It's true, though. It's like when you say, I'm sorry, that's saying you are that.
Yeah.
If you say, I am mad, that's saying you are mad. You know, and that is the key. A lot of times, it's like, instead of that, say, I feel regretful that this happened, or I am saddened that this took place. But when people keep saying, I'm sorry, 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 it seems like it's almost
just
like...
to placate you and to make you just shut up and be quiet.
Exactly. I like that. That's smart. See, yeah. and that's a manipulation strategy that several people on this planet use, and it works for them.
And it works on me, I can tell you that, unfortunately.
Oh, note to self.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I just, you know, I don't want to make other people angry with me. Not that I just stay up late at night, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, I hope so-and-so isn't mad at me. But I feel like if somebody asked me to do something, with most people, if most people that I know will ask me to do something, it's because they think they can rely on me, and I like being able to be thought of as a reliable person. So I'm like, if I'm in a situation where I can't do what they're asking me to do, and for whatever reason, then I tend to kind of what you were saying, Annie. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, ad nauseum, literally, and I know I'm doing it, and I can't stop.
Yeah. You know? I recently had somebody ask me for a favor, and it would have involved me just, you know, doing something I didn't want to do. And I just flat out told him, I did say I'm sorry. I can't remember now, but I said, no, I don't want to, because I didn't want to.
I rarely will I ever say to someone, I just don't want to. I try to weasel my way out of it.
Yeah, I was just honest, because had I said yes, and had I, you know, gone and done this thing and whatnot, I would have done it begrudgingly so, and I would have had a bad attitude the whole time, and it would just better that I just say no and not even be there under the guise of helping this person when I knew I didn't want to, and they, you know, the friendship really is not enough for me to put myself out there like that.
So. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I like that. And, you know, a lot of times, Annie, like you just said, you have to be honest and you have to do what's right. And I think a lot of times when we say that no, and some of us have never said it. I know that some people listening tonight have never said no to a request.
Gotta learn how to say no.
You have to. And after you do the first time, it does give you like this courage. You don't need liquid courage to do it. After you get the first no out of the way, you know, you don't want to be going willy-nilly all over the place saying no, just because, you know, I mean, but I'm saying, you know, if it's not going to be right.
No.
And I think, exactly, no, no. And I think that the biggest thing about doing what's right and not people-pleasing is if you're doing the right thing by everybody, okay, so if you're doing the right thing by you and by the other people, so what you were just saying, when somebody asked you to help, and if you would have said yes, your heart wouldn't have been in it, you wouldn't have been happy being there. That's not doing the right thing for everybody, okay? That's not. You know, somebody could really fill in and love doing it, and their love and passion for it would make it even better, but now you're there, and so there's a person that can't step up to the plate. So, I think it's been a great show tonight. I think we've had a wonderful show. I'm glad that you tuned in this evening. Wonderful to have you in studio, Annie. I'm glad to have you here.
My pleasure.
Big Skinny, always great.
Thank you, Mrs. Ashley.
Oh, thank you. Southern Hospitality. And Billy Boy, you're awesome as
always. Woof,
woof. A few compliments here. So, guys, in the future, I hope this helps you. I hope you can take this to heart, some of the stuff we've talked about. And I'm hoping that these tips and tools and secrets can help you to stop this people-pleasing cycle and help to begin living your true life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in three shakes.